like a moth to a flame. I will call out her name. Zingor, Zingor, Zingor. I've got ants in my pants as I do the mating dance for Zingor, Zingor, Zingor. Green is the color of my true love's exoskeleton. She only has 1,000 eyes for me. She's a cuckoo. Our ancient love will survive the scourge of mankind and evolution. Come on, mama, bring it on home to Z. Yeah. Hey, waiter, what's the poop? There's a fly in my soup. Reminds me of Zingor. Wherever you are, baby, remember, fica sobino laga, fica sobino couscous. That means I don't get mad, I get even.
This program is a production of WRCT Public Affairs. The opinions expressed within are solely those of the participants. Questions and comments can be addressed to 621-WRCT or WRCT 1 Margaret Morrison Plaza, Pittsburgh, PA 15213.
Hello, my fantastic radio friends, and welcome to another edition of Loveline. It's 11:06 p.m., and this is WRCT Pittsburgh, 88.3 FM. I'm your host, DJ Fantastic Homo 2000. And with me in the studio tonight are my special host friends, and I'll go around the room and let them introduce themselves.
DJ Born Again Virgin, Chris.
Serge.
Born Again?
Move
Virgin?
Along.
Move along.
Pablo, I'm Pablo.
Hi, it's Charisse again.
3 weeks ago, we had Charisse in our studio to talk about sexual fantasies, and the viewer reaction was so incredible. What did we get? I don't know how many pieces of email and phone mail we got, but it was several thousands.
Well, we usually get one back, and we got two that week. So,
And I believe there were some suicides out there when they realized that Charisse was not necessarily available fully in all ways, shapes, and forms. Just people. Passionate.
But anyway, she's back.
Control yourselves.
And so, Charisse, welcome back, and thank you for joining us again. It was difficult to get you. I know you have a busy schedule, but we are pleased to have you back. Tonight's topic is going to be sexual fantasies revisiting the Inner Sanctum, and we're going to take up where we left off. And we have a very special kind of promotional offer tonight. If our viewers... We're going to give a Cinnabon.
Top quality Cinnabon.
A high quality Cinnabon to top quality sexual fantasies called in by our viewers. So if you call in and you give us a sexual fantasy, and it has to be a valid sexual fantasy, it can't just be like, you know, I want a Cinnabon. You will get an actual Cinnabon.
And you need to realize these are real Cinnabons.
What kind of buns are these? Fantastic icing. They're so good.
And this is not like the fake Cinnabons or faux buns, as they're commonly referred to in the biz. Honest to goodness.
They're delicious, they're creamy, they're...
You could have the guest of their choice lick the icing from their Cinnabons.
What kind of buns are these?
Cinna. Sin being the operative
Sin
word.
Cinnabon.
Yes.
So, the number to call if you want your Cinnabon, get your sexual fantasies ready, and please call us at 621-WRCT or on campus 268-WRCT.
Country code is 1, area code is 412 for those of you listening on the internet.
And we can't really mail you the Cinnabon if you're listening, you know, from outside
The Cinnabons will be distributed after the show. If you're calling from foreign lands, you'll have to, like, make do with, you know, turnip soup or whatever you people.
We'll put a virtual Cinnabon on the web for you.
Oh, that would be cute.
That'll okay.
Be.
So, I think we should get
it
started.
Should drip. The icing should drip.
Now, Charisse.
It's warm. It's
steamy. Charisse.
Sorry.
We were talking earlier when you were licking the Cinnabon frosting off my fingers and various other parts of my body. You were telling me the story about the retreat you had. You were with a group of your actress friends, I believe, for an all-women's retreat in one of the eastern states, Vermont, I believe.
Yeah, and it was actually, it was going to last all summer. It was an acting and teaching kind of thing, and it was, I have to say, it was one of the most erotic experiences that I've ever had, and the girls and I all bonded over our loneliness of being five girls locked alone in the cabin in the woods in Vermont.
So how long were you were away from your boyfriends?
We were away from our significant others. I won't say boyfriends.
For how long?
It was to be for all summer, and within the first couple of weeks, it did nothing but rain, so we were just trapped in the cabin by ourselves, and needless to say, we were all extremely frustrated being parted from our loved ones, and thinking of the entire summer stretching before us with no real intimate contact.
How far away were you from other people?
Well, we were up in the farmlands. And the people that we were meeting were not people we'd want to drag home and entertain. So we were pretty much on our own. And we were stuck in the cabin a lot. It rained the first couple of weeks we were there, so we were really kind of just going stir crazy, trapped in the cabin.
Now you mentioned that there were, you mentioned the disclaimer of significant others not all being male.
We had a good mix. You know, when you're in the arts, you get a lot of varying tastes.
So are we talking like because it's five people, did you have a majority of heterosexuals?
Majority of heterosexuals, yes. Mm-hmm.
Interesting, but at least one lesbian or bisexual. I mean, mathematically.
One was a bisexual, and she was very, very nice. Very
was she cute. Some kind of social catalyst that ended up turning you all into like a hormone?
I have to say, she did actually start the discussion on the sexual venue. And another one of the girls, one that I thought was probably, you know, the most innocent of the bunch, she brought out her sexual fantasy books that she had purchased solely to read over the phone to her boyfriend while they were away from each other. And I must say, these books were very, very stimulating to the imagination. Very erotic.
On a scale of like 1 to 5 Cinnabons, that would be...
Definitely 5 Cinnabons and dripping with icing. They were absolutely fantastic.
Major, like extra icing.
Extra icing. And warmed in the microwave, too.
Little a la mode, maybe.
You wouldn't remember any references for the researchers among us, would you?
References?
Any specific
authors, titles,
illustrations,
countries of
Actually,
origin?
You know, there were no illustrations. It was all text. But the stories were very good, and I can only tell you that the few that kind of appealed to me, if you're interested.
Mm-hmm. Oh, of course. I think this is more than us that's interested. We have our millions of listeners.
Well, all right. Well, let's see. There was one. Yes.
I'm sorry. Before you start with that, I thought that this was going to lead into some sort of discovery of hidden sexual desire.
Well, I didn't finish
desire.
The story. I mean, it's up to you which way we take the show. Do you want to hear about what was written in the books, or do you want to know what happened to the girls after we read all the stories?
I'd like you to keep me waiting. So, go ahead and tell us the story in the book.
All right. There was one very descriptive story, and I can't certainly do it justice because it was very well written. And it was about a girl who was captured by Saudi Arabian warriors, whatever, and she was taken to the Sultan, and she was going to be one of his favorite slave girls. And he had to put...
I think I saw this on Xena recently.
Xena may be using this book as reference.
A two-parter, I believe.
Xena's basing her whole show on this book.
Yeah, could be. But anyway, she was supposed to be prepared for the Sultan, so she had to go through these certain sexual trials that the other girls put her through. She was actually ready for her night with the Sultan. And I don't know how much erotic detail you boys can handle.
As much as you can.
One trial to start would be fine.
Well, the girls bathed her, and they masturbated her, and they had these ivory dildos that were...
Ivory dildos?
Uh-huh, that were used, and then...
Would ivory strike you as a little cold and hard?
Well, I guess initially, but it was a symbol of his wealth. It was the Sultan that she was being prepared for, so she had to be made ready for him. Hmm. And then there were things with the horses and riding the horses with the mother.
Interesting.
riding the horses.
Now, what is it? Can you clarify the horse?
Is this like Catherine the Great?
No. She, yeah. How much are we allowed to tell on the radio?
Well, as long as you use your appropriate language.
All right. I mean, she was supposed to ride the horses while she had the dildos in, so she would come while she was riding the horses. And that movement was to stimulate her to climax.
Aye.
And so...
This was like the Sultan's washing machine.
Sort of. Sort of, yeah.
Excellent.
But anyway, so she at first was very afraid and very worried, but then she began to enjoy it. And by the time that the story was over, she was ready for the Sultan, who was extremely impressive. And
I don't know why I was thinking of big ivory dildos, and then it definitely seemed dangerous on top of a horse. So I guess these weren't that big.
Well, right? No, we weren't talking like. We're talking fantasy. We're not talking
right. So technical. It's like a dream. The details don't really match.
Right. That could be. But and anyway, it was much better written than I could ever tell the story. So and then there was another one about the woman working at home, and the window washer came in and was very romantic and.
So this is interesting. Was the window washer romantic or sexual?
I guess sexual, because I'm saying romantic, but I mean sexual. And he was very well built, and he had his overalls on, and he was all sweaty, his muscles were glistening in the sun.
Was he talking, or was he...
I don't think he spoke very much. It's been a while since I've read the book, but I don't remember. It was more how he looked that appealed to the woman. All these stories were written from the woman's point of view, so she's describing what she sees and how it made her feel.
So it's sounding a lot like these were stories for boys in the stereotypical... what boys like, what girls like type thing. These aren't romances.
I think it was written for couples. I think it was written for couples to read together and to discuss what they liked and didn't like.
Did you get the impression the boyfriend, significant other, read backstories?
Well, the girl that brought the books out said that she used to read them to her boyfriend and he used to read them to her at bedtime, so that would get them in the mood, so to speak. And
a catalyst.
And they would just work their way through the book, reading a little bit.
I don't know if I could live up to the Sultan. I mean, it sounds...
The Sultan was really... I remember that because it was really well written. Hmm. It was a very good story. But anyway, back to the window washer. The woman is... Yes. You know, the window washer comes in whenever he's gorgeous.
Of course, there's soap and water and the trickling sounds.
Soap and water, yes. And then, somehow, and I forget who else it was. I think it was the gardener, but she's... making wild, passionate love in the kitchen with the window washer.
Mm-hmm.
And the gardener comes in, and he joins them. So she's in between both of these hot, steamy, muscular bodies. And she's describing what it feels like to have one in front and one in back.
You mean double entry?
Uh-huh.
Oh, my God. I've seen pictures of that, and I've been shocked that humanity could do that.
Well, she described it to be very, very, very erotic and very good.
Well, can you imagine having...
Actually...
how much volume...
I have a very good imagination.
So, are we talking about... I mean, it seems totally... I mean, I'm not a woman, of course, not since 1976, but I mean, I can imagine that double entry is possible and, in fact, quite interesting. I mean, is not he's sort of simultaneous vaginal and anal?
Well, entry? I'm not really surprised
Is that what you're talking about, or is there an oral factor to...
Simultaneous vaginal and anal.
That was when the mailman showed up, or was that...
No, we only had two characters in this story. Yeah.
There was an open orifice, it seems. Only.
I'm not really amazed that there is enough room in a woman's body with all that extra reproductive stuff.
Apparently so.
To actually take one. Uh-huh. And when I saw two for the first time, I was horrified.
Really?
It seemed, it was about to burst open, I imagined.
Hmm.
And how it would feel for the men, too, with their being side by side, really, right?
In the story, the men could actually feel each other through.
Of course, of course.
Yeah.
That actually sounds pretty interesting.
And it made them more...
Well, I know of at least one CMU undergrad who prefers simultaneous penetration by two men, and it's not only possible, it's encouraged in her lifestyle. Mm-hmm. So,
is this a religion?
Cerise?
Would you like to join? They're taking new members.
Have you ever received this?
Me,
double?
Personally?
Yeah. I'd be very curious to
if we have
hear
anyone out there who
like.
Has experienced this.
Because I would imagine it's painful. Convince me otherwise. Give me a call and tell me what it feels like.
There's a Cinnabon in it.
268-WRCT, 621-WRCT. Simultaneous entry?
Who knows?
Facts of fiction.
So the books, getting back to their importance in this whole
ordeal.
Oh, yes,
ordeal, back to the story.
The cabin.
Yeah.
The books are now playing a role. Obviously,
we sat around and we read the stories. And
how were they introduced? Did she just one day say, "Hey, I have these books"?
Well,
we were
talking about how much we missed our significant others, and she brought out the books and said, "You know, this is what I miss most, because every night, or you know, some nights before bed, my boyfriend and I would sit and read these to each other, and we were all very curious, having never read sexual fantasy books before, and so we took turns reading them aloud to each other, and went to bed very frustrated after the first couple of stories. But then, as we became more and more familiar with each other, more comfortable with each other, and we read more of the stories, we became a little more friendly. And the one girl I said was bisexual, and we had some physical contact, some hugging, some kissing, a little cuddling on the floor.
With whom? You and her?
I'm telling you, bisexuality is like a virus of perversion. It spreads.
When you are a friendly female and you are a huggy female, a huggable female, it's not that far from a kiss with another girl.
Sure.
And it doesn't seem so strange, and it doesn't seem so horrible.
And you kissed her?
Yeah.
This weekend.
So you were the one that broke the ice?
No, we all kind of... I can't even describe the feeling that we had for each other, because we were all very, very close at the point that this happened, so it didn't seem to matter very much.
Right.
Like I said, it seemed very natural. It seemed a very natural progression.
Now, was this ever in your fantasy works before having read the books?
Never. No. No.
This was something totally new.
Yeah. Hmm. I was totally caught up in the moment and feeling close to the girls and missing my boyfriend at the time.
Was there Indigo Girls music playing at any point?
Oh, of course. I even got to see them play in concert that summer.
So that was not a factor.
No, what is the Indigo Girls reference?
They're lesbian folk singers.
Well-known lesbian folk singers, yeah.
Yeah.
I never understand. I mean, why do people identify with singers, famous people of their own sexual preference? I don't identify particularly with heterosexual men.
They sing about their sexual preference. So it's a big issue in their music. And I don't know if you know Frank, but she's also a lesbian folk singer.
Frank.
She is the premier.
She is. Yeah. She's awesome.
Ms. Ani DeFranco as well.
Hmm?
Do the Indigo Girls actually sing about their sexual preference or what?
They sing songs that are, not all of them. I mean, obviously they sing songs about men and women. They sing songs about a lot of different sexual situations, but much of their music is not necessarily gender-based. There is a lot of love and a lot of sharing and a lot of the emotions that go on in a relationship without actually saying he and she. A lot of it is you and my lover and things like that.
So that's the identification with this kind of person, and I know this is not a good topic for this show, but I'm very curious, naturally. And so is the identification with them, does it come from knowing that they're lesbian, or does it come from the songs?
I'm taking over because I was a lesbian folks. I had a lesbian folk
show. You used to be a lesbian folk singer. Okay,
pretty much. I mean, I there are no other musicians out in the world today that I appreciate the music of more than lesbian folk singers. In fact, I own every last Ani DeFranco album. Like, I own all of them. And of course, she claims and she is a bisexual. She's currently with a man. However, she went through a phase of singing. Five or six of her albums are pretty much predominantly very lesbian oriented, and it's basically the. I mean, it's the same thing with movies and the media. Imagine going through your life with your lover and not being able to share in, you know, that cheesy Bryan Adams music of, you know, oh, I miss you, my strong man, you know, and suddenly have this I love you and, you know, let's drive the pickup to the grocery store, sweetie, type of music. You know, like, I don't know. It's just, it's really special stuff. And it's funny because you don't hear it much from men. There are a couple of male gay folk singers out there, but it's not nearly as predominant as lesbian folk. So, I mean,
I'm thinking Pet Shop Boys.
Well, yeah, but Pet Shop Boys even are pretty damn ambiguous, and you get a lot of, you know, hets listening to Pet Shop Boys and, you know, kind of applying it to their heterosexual relationships. I mean, I think that's definitely, it's not as geared, perhaps. Or maybe, I'm not a big PSB listener, so perhaps, you know, caller can enlighten us about, you know, gay male music or something, but maybe we're getting too sidetracked.
By the way, I should mention that DJ producer Kate is online as always, and perhaps she has some enlightening thoughts to share.
No, not entirely, except that I think that if there weren't a lot of heterosexuals out there identifying that kind of folk music with their own lives, then maybe the Indigo Girls wouldn't be quite so famous too, because they're really, really popular among everybody, and not just homosexuals.
I don't know the Indigo Girls. I'm sure they're great.
What surprised
me was the straight identification. I'm sorry, the identification with that the lesbians apparently have with them, or whatever.
Let's go on.
Let's leave music behind.
Sorry.
No, it's not your fault. It's mine, Kate.
Well, no, but the whole sexual fantasy book thing was very interesting, though. That was.
Yeah.
I'd like to put in my 2 cents worth and say it was very fascinating.
I recommend that everybody goes to the bookstore and look at some of these sexual fantasy books, because some of them are very well written, and they're very romantic, and they're very stimulating. And apparently, according to the girl that brought the books in, they really helped her relationship become more intimate and more expressive than it ever had been.
There's also a lot of online material as well. If people are shy about bookstores, they can definitely find a lot of erotica, both heterosexual, bisexual, and homosexual, online, with just a few quick strokes in the search engines of today, which is also very highly recommended. So,
would you recommend some search terms?
Search terms, basically stories, erotica, sex, gay sex, erotica, gay or straight sex. I mean, you usually don't have to. Actually, if you just do sex erotica, you'd usually turn up more.
I'm thinking if you try that, you're going to get inundated with pictures.
You do usually get inundated with pictures. However, I think stories and sex usually end up getting quite a mix, and definitely something maybe more predominantly text-based.
On the internet, though, I feel like I'm more visually based, and I seek images and even little animations. And I find that when I seek pornography, I rent videos and so on. I'm not really that into reading textual erotica. It seems sort of tame to me. I don't know.
See, that's very interesting, because I have the complete opposite reaction. I find a lot of erotica, at least in terms of the picture format. I mean, it's harder to place oneself, perhaps, in that one static image of that one moment, as opposed to, say, a story which could take you 10 minutes, 15 minutes, even a half an hour to read. Even a 5-minute story or 2-minute story can be extremely, you can very much easily engage yourself in that fantasy sometimes.
But do you actually masturbate to textual material?
Of course. I'm sorry, did that sound...
I mean, maybe.
No, definitely.
I wonder if it's... Because I find, you know, I of course masturbate to pornographic videos, but I find textual materials, I mean, very rarely is it actually interesting. And I was just wondering, is there a correlation with, say, penis size, for example? I know that you have a very large penis, and I'm wondering if because of that large penis, you're actually...
Yeah, maybe the pictures aren't so impressive.
Actually, my penis is microscopic, and I tend to enjoy the textual things better. And they leave a more complex and more lasting impression, which can carry me through the long sessions of masturbation that I require.
Well, no, actually, I have seen your penis many times in the UC showers, for example. I mean, it seems proportional to your body frame and so on.
The problem is it doesn't grow at all when it's erect.
Interesting.
What made this experience very erotic for me? Remember, I was up there with four other actresses, And we took turns reading these stories aloud to one another, and we were very expressive in our readings. And it was really the feeling that the people put into the reading that they did of the story that brought it to life. It wasn't just sitting there reading a book by yourself.
So I understand that you were actually, you composed some pornographic letters, or at least some very romantic letters to the men that you left at home.
Oh, yeah, on with the story. Then after we had read some of these stories in the books, we actually wrote our own fantasies home to our significant others. And we made tapes with sex music on them to kind of remind the significant others of us.
Just music?
Well, the song Boys to Men that goes, ooh, ah, that very nice romantic song, and some other things.
So the fantasies you brought back were from the books, or were you?
Well, I don't know what
exactly
the other girls did, but we all kind of thought it would be cute to write letters home that were erotically stimulating to make them miss us. And I couldn't copy what I had read or heard. Right. I ended up writing my own, and I think the other girls did too, because we were all a pretty creative bunch, and.
Can you give us a sample of what you might have written to your?
I'm sorry, that's too private.
Well, what about one of the other? What did the other women might have written? Did you happen to read any?
We didn't really share that. That was very private. Yeah, we. All I know is that we all kind of went off to our rooms in frustrated frenzy and wrote home very.
So you had individual rooms in this cabin?
Yeah, we did. Now we had one special room that was kind of the honeymoon suite, and whenever anyone's significant other came up to visit, they got the room to have as a romantic spot.
Wow, so it seems like that over time that room would get charged with a kind of erotic energy and maybe get sort of crusty
with karma.
I don't know if I'd say crusty, but it pretty much had a very romantic air to it. Lots of incense, lots of lace, and a very feminine erotic feel. Candles.
Leather restraints.
Nipple clamps hooked up to car batteries. I'm trying to get inside Corey's head and work with this, but it's a frightening place to be, so I'm gonna step out for a second.
Nipple clamps with car batteries. Okay.
He followed it.
Bookmark.
Very much right there.
We also learned erotic massage that summer.
Really? So you practiced erotic massage on each other?
We did practice. The woman that ran the theater was a massage therapist. And she shared some tips with us, and we took it one step further, kind of, you know, with the scented oil. And
with the girls?
Yeah, we practiced, I actually learned how to blow in people's ear from a girlfriend.
Oh, so is there a technique for
blowing?
There's
a technique for that, yeah.
What are the highlights of that technique?
Well, I can't describe it. I have to show you.
Well,
okay.
Well, he has two ears.
This is an interactive show.
We'll describe the reactions.
You guys talk about something. Charisse will blow in my ear. We'll get back to you.
I will tell you that I had a friend of mine gang up on a male friend, and we both got on either side of him and just went wild, ripping at his clothes and blowing in his ear, and he broke up with his girlfriend that night, and I felt horrible.
the details. I'm sorry. This guy was visiting, or he was local?
He was visiting, and my friend and I got very frisky. And
he was visiting his girlfriend?
He was visiting
me. That was one of the five?
And he was visiting me.
Oh, I see. So he was a friend, but
himself.
Not a lover.
Well, he had been a lover.
Okay.
So did he?
A few years ago.
Mm-hmm.
And just, I had no idea that his relationship was that unstable.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Did it just end at the blowing in the ears and the tearing at the clothes? Or?
Well, of course. We were just teasing. We didn't mean it.
Mm-hmm. Oh, but he interpreted it far more seriously.
He interpreted
seriously,
it as apparently. Being, yeah, that we meant
perhaps
it.
Perhaps a religious experience.
I think the poor boy hadn't had any attention for quite a while.
It sounds a lot like the hot by babe fantasy.
Excuse me?
The hot by babe fantasy?
Perhaps, yeah, perhaps.
Which is kind of standard issue among us heterosexual men.
Perhaps. He got a taste of what it might be like that night.
Okay, what is your name again?
Serge.
Okay, so Serge, I want you to tell me what this fantasy is about, Wild Series, Blowsing, whatever DJ's 2000, blah, blah, blah.
It's actually a very simple fantasy that I think everybody out there...
It's up to you. I can...
I'm having a lot more fun watching the...
No, you have to tell me. What is this hot by babe sex? What?
The hot by babe fantasy is the two or more females, bisexual females, who are interested in each other and...
Interested in you, as
in the middle of activity, suddenly decide that... a male heterosexual is exactly what they need at that point to further their
Machiavellian
erotic encounters.
Okay.
Yeah. The smile is broadening on Corey's face here.
Oh,
I think that's just the kind of them.
Cerise's feet are lifting in the air.
I think we have just witnessed the bisexuality virus being transmitted.
And her head was bobbing up and down into Corey's
ear.
Side of the head. Yes.
Okay, I've had my ear blown into, as you said. It was that was incredible. I mean, that was incredibly arousing. I'm not. Wow. That might be enough to turn.
Can you describe
what
you felt? I mean,
I don't even know what she was doing. There was some kind of inhalation, exhalation thing going on.
Some sort of turbulence thing going.
It was very mild and very subtle. And
you have to do the circular tongue movement.
Incredibly arousing. Was your tongue in my ear?
The nibbling. It's all part of it.
Wow.
I can't describe it. I just have to show you.
I think you need to teach me that. It's the most incredibly seductive thing I've ever had happen to me. I'm serious. I'm in a state of powerful sexual arousal, and I'm not even exaggerating. That was
sweat. You
should
is
really
pouring
do that
off you.
You should do that to all of us.
Well,
is that possible?
If anyone else wants to experience,
I would certainly like to.
Oh my God, that was amazing. I mean, I think
I'll be the designated show host here, just in case you all fall apart.
I think we can't let you leave the studio because
he's fidgeting like he wouldn't believe
with,
you.
With
That's
powers
huge.
Like that, you're actually dangerous in society. I mean, that was actually, I'm serious. That was the most pleasurable thing that's ever happened to me.
I have a cell in my house.
You have a what?
I have a cell in my house for these kind of cases.
A cell?
Cell?
A cell.
Like a padded cell?
It's not padded, but yes.
Oh.
But anyway.
The cage.
So what is involved in this blowing and kissing?
I was serious. That was totally incredible. I was really...
I wish you could describe it a little bit better.
I don't know. It was... suddenly she was... Well, you'll have to experience it.
I'm sorry. I'm going to miss data.
So, her lips are on your ear. She's gently breathing in and out. She's nibbling. She's inhaling. She's an exhaling. Maybe a little bit of a bite. I don't know. But I never realized my ear was such an erogenous zone.
Oh my God. She's on ear number two.
Left ear, honey.
Wow.
No, it is quite impressive, actually.
I think you need to teach me that. Share with me your seductive power so that I can rule.
Teach you the step by step.
Is this something that only works on men? Does this work on women?
I actually haven't tried it on a woman.
I think it would.
Interesting experiment.
I pretty much think it would. Yeah.
There are definitely crossovers, I think, in terms of erogenous zones between.
I think, well, touching appeals to both sexes, so it should theoretically work on women.
Wow, there's just this dull hush.
Yeah.
We're going to have to supply some kind of ear adapter for the WRCT CD-ROM, or DVD-ROM, I should say.
Step-by-step directions on the webpage, spiral card.
So, of course, we still are looking for your sexual fantasies, whether they involve the ear or not.
I've had sex that was worse than this.
That was incredible. That was a completely memorable ear lick. I'm really stunned. But as Chris suggests, DJ Chris 2000.
Born Again Virgin 2000.
268 WRCT 621 WRCT. Please do call. Cinnabons for sexual fantasies. And maybe even an ear lick. Can't promise.
Whoever comes up with the best sexual fantasy can have an ear lick.
Nice. So,
you're selling yourself.
You're missing out if you're not calling in.
Unreal. So where to go? Where to go from there? I mean, that seems to have topped everything. I mean, perhaps this is the ultimate fantasy come reality.
It is. Although I wonder, maybe the rest of us can share our sexual fantasies. I know I was actually nursing a sexual fantasy recently where I was in the shower.
In a public place?
In the university center here at Carnegie Mellon University. And I was actually
showering
next to an older gentleman who looked at me and actually suddenly developed an erection. I was actually very... because at first you're not sure because, you know, men are very different and some people are kind of hung that way where they kind of look like they're poking out a little bit. And I wasn't sure at first. But then after a while it was clear that it was like turgid city and this man had this totally powerful erection.
Facing up.
He was actually pointing pretty much straight out.
Okay. But aesthetically, on 1 to 5 Cinnabons?
Well, I mean, the penis itself was a very attractive penis. I mean, that's a pretty much a 4 or 5 penis, 4 or 5 Cinnabon penis. But I mean, the man, you know, don't really go that way, and so I wasn't really that interested in him.
That reminds me of that bad joke about how does the guy in the nudist colony carry the dozen donuts and the 2 cups of coffee at the same time?
I thought the most popular mate for that person was the one who could eat them off without using their hands.
Right.
I've heard this one.
where does the coffee figure in?
Pardon me?
You mentioned coffee and donuts.
Who's the most popular man in the nudist colony? The guy who can carry 2 cups of coffee and a dozen donuts at the same time.
Oh, I gotcha. Okay, sorry.
And then he said, who's the most popular mate?
Mm-hmm. Back to erections.
Back to erections in public showers.
So where does this play into a fantasy? You're witnessing this.
This really happened, and you know, it was fine because people get erections all the time, and you know, sometimes you can't even control it. You think about, you know, your research.
I think this only happens around you. I've never seen this in the UC show.
No, I've seen this happening when somebody was thinking about research as DJ.
It's the doctorate again, isn't it?
And those nature videos, remember?
Exactly. And so, but I mean, I assume that it was some kind of sexual attraction, although I don't know. I mean, who can say? The man had a, but it was completely obvious. I had before and after mental images. His penis was flaccid before, and then pretty soon it was this huge, cowering, kind of totally turgid member. And so, you know, there's no doubt that it was Erection City. But then I had this fantasy. I was like, wouldn't it be incredible if I had the power to induce erections in anyone that I wanted to at any time?
Was this on the spot? Were you having this fantasy right there?
Well, no, I developed it later.
Okay.
And then
I mean, this is just...
Just like the swim team or all these people, the sort of oppressive people who like are kind of freakish about being in the shower or being naked, or they look at you with like, you know, don't look, you know, these people that give you this look like, you know, don't you dare look at my incredible like athletic body because, you know, I'm so homophobic. Like, wouldn't it be incredible if I could actually induce an erection in these men and
well, that's probably why they're not looking at you. You
make them
that.
Want me.
Because once, you know, once somebody lays eyes upon your...
It's like Helen of Troy.
Your lobes, which we had this discussion the last time.
My lobes.
Your cranial lobes, Corey, which we've clearly labeled as perhaps one of the most erection-inducing things. We can just see the research and the doctorate throbbing through there, and it's enough to drive, you know, even the most homophobic swim team member into a state of complete arousal.
It's interesting. That must be some kind of evolutionary adaptation, you know, being attracted to someone who's very intelligent in order to produce the most intelligent offspring.
Perhaps.
Are you assuming that this erection you would inspire would be a sign of sexual interest in you? Or just erection?
So, and that's my idea, is that, you know, they would have this erection, they would have this desire for me, but they'd be embarrassed by it. And so, you know... They'd see me, they'd be aroused, they wouldn't know what to do with these feelings, and they'd have to leave suddenly because they were so embarrassed by their own incredible...
Wouldn't you get frustrated?
Yeah, I would find that absolutely horrifying to have a bunch of people fleeing from This seems to play into your whole degenerated sense of feelings and loss.
Well, it's true. I mean, this is probably not a fully satisfying sexual fantasy, but it did occur to me just very recently, and that's why I'm sharing it with you. And it was based on a true life incident of Erection Man just the other day, getting this big boner and pointing it at me.
That is a good point, though. Why people don't look at each other in the shower? There's certainly stuff to look at. It's not a museum, but it's kind of interesting. Yeah. But we have this taboo of not looking at all. Right?
True. Well, I think it's very interesting. I mean, some of these people, you know, they spend hours in the gym really sculpting their bodies, and they look really good, and I admire them. I think, wow, you know, I wish I could look that good. Chris, for example.
Well, this was a whole other show we had, and the politics of showers and
right.
And playing your fantasies up there and any kind of sexual content there. I think there's definitely a divided population as to terms of what is appropriate in the public sector.
So have you started to get an erection in the shower, in a public shower? Did you try to repress it, or did you just let it flourish as a work of art?
I have on occasion. I mean, you know, when I was in eighth grade, I was getting all kinds of spontaneous erections that just had no explanation at all. I think now in my more advanced years, that erections only come, you know, for a reason.
I think that was a sign of your destination to doctorhood. You were so enamored with education.
I guess that's right. I really only get an erection now when I see really solid research or
good paper.
But it has happened on occasion. It's never too bad. I mean, I think it's still, you know, it's a partially involuntary reaction. And when I see somebody with an erection or a partial thing, I'm like, oh, well, you know, I understand. I don't necessarily think it's an embarrassing thing. I mean, you know, we're all men. We have this complicated kind of psychosexual makeup. I mean, who knows what could be triggering that thing? I don't really...
This is an interesting thing, actually, that I've thought about a little bit, about the difference between the male and female anatomy in fantasies. So when you're fantasizing about someone male, you can decide that this person is interested in some sort of sexual contact because they have an erection. But right. For females, we don't have an equivalent thing to look for, an equivalent stand-up sign that waves at you and says hi.
You know, both the labia, you know, the labia puff up and the...
Is that something you can spot at 12
readily
places?
Visible, though.
It's different on all women, isn't it? I mean,
yeah.
It's not kind of the standard protocol.
So this is my theory is that
and
the
it's
whole
not as noticeable.
My theory is that the whole lingerie thing is the female equivalent of an erection.
Yeah, I could see that. If a woman shows you her lingerie, she
if a woman is prepared to show you herself being dressed up in this sexual manner, then that's the equivalent of.
And perhaps it takes, I mean, depending on age and stamina, it takes a little less effort to put a man up to a certain level of sexual arousal than it does a woman. And that, again, is perhaps a terrible stereotype, but I think maybe that's perhaps more true, that maybe a woman would require some more tactile or even like you were talking about with your fantasies and this Vermont experience, something more, more along the lines of talking about it and kind of working into it, whereas opposed to this man showering next to Corey could simply, you know, gaze at his lobes and seek an amazing stimulus right there.
I think it probably depends very much on the individual and exactly your approach to it. Because I think there are some situations where I could be very aroused just by someone answering a question the right way.
Answering a question right, you said?
Yeah, just saying the right thing to me at the right time.
Right.
If I'm that attracted to someone just physically speaking, then all they have to do is look at me a certain way and I'll get pretty excited, so...
Really?
Yeah, definitely.
Oh, yeah.
I agree with that.
What about earlobe stimulation?
Maybe that's just the technique of the people that have been around me before, but that doesn't work very well with me.
See me after the show.
I was planning on it, actually.
I recommend.
We can
and bring
the
Cinnabon.
Fascinating.
I think from what discussion I've had with my other female friends, whenever their boyfriends see them naked, they think that they want to have, that the woman is excited and wants to have sexual relations. That seems to be a common point of confusion because I have several friends who like to clean in the nude, and whenever their boyfriends see them in the nude, they think that, oh, you know, so-and-so is aroused and wants me, and it's total miscommunication because my girlfriends just want to clean the bathroom or something, and the poor guy is all confused. This has happened with several friends of mine that their boyfriends
seem to
think
that
nudity means...
That's more like when you go to a meeting and there is free food, even if you just say you're going to eat some more because it's there.
that's very strange. I mean, I think that depends on your exposure to it, too. For example, in my relationship, both of us sort of pad around in the nude, and that doesn't necessarily mean anything. But I can imagine...
Yeah, but with your significant other, though, if he has an erection, then that means he's ready, and you know that.
You have a clear signal.
Does that mean that in your relationship?
Well, actually, no. I mean, if my my partner's pretty much good to go almost any time of the day, and so...
Braggart. There's a Cinnabon for him.
An erection pretty much means, almost nothing. We'd have sex 5 times a day if it were up to him. So basically, he's basically... Mm. Ready to go at the drop of a hat. Oops, dropped my hat. You know,
and a whole host of other things, I'm sure. Car keys, bars of soap, jeans.
But I've got to try this ear thing. This ear thing could bring our relationship to a whole new level of sexual arousal.
Well, on the theme of fantasies, I feel like I need to share one, but it's not my own. It's actually a Dr. J.J. Jordanovich, who's actually in Hermitage, Nashville, by Nashville, Tennessee right now, doing some research on some of the southern sexual practices, inspired from our last show where we had the in-depth conversation about the South. Her ex-fiance used to do a lot of storytelling and fantasy play with her, and one of the ones that was most notable was I asked her for an example of one of these incidents, and it was this kind of talking about a rocking horse in a grandmother's attic. And you can imagine the scene where he would be talking to her, or perhaps in the actual act of making love to her and telling her this story. I mean, you are
making love to the grandmother?
No, making love to Dr. Jordanovich, and actually being saying, well, you know, you're in your grandmother's attic. You know you're not supposed to be there. You're being a very bad girl. And you like to go up there because there's this rocking horse, and you like to ride that rocking horse. And you know you shouldn't be on the rocking horse, but you wanna ride that horse, and you really like the way it feels when you rock back and forth.
This is really
and back
sick,
and forth.
Man.
And yeah, well, and this is all going on simultaneous to the actual act of lovemaking, and it's completely introducing and completely actually taking that fantasy element and overriding the current situation, as if, I mean, he is not important. The horse becomes what is important, the rocking horse, and it just keeps going on, and you know, you get even more excited, and you begin to touch yourself, and you know, you want to experience, you know, you're getting closer to something, and you don't understand it because you're just this little girl who's doing a very bad thing. And I mean, it just totally sent me through the roof. I mean, I think, you know, this guy should write a book of these vignettes and sell them. I mean,
is it easy to induce that kind of thing?
Is it easy?
Yeah,
well, apparently. I mean, I don't know if there's a female perspective here about what that would do.
I once had a lover who would whisper erotic stories in my ear while we were making love, and one of my favorite stories he told me about horses mating in the field, and it was absolutely incredible.
And did it completely displace you? Did it put you
I can totally imagine the visuals that he was describing. Right. And
so
the strength
became
of the horses and the sweat of the horses and the smell of the horses and the arousal and the mating.
Yeah, but that wasn't role-playing. That helped you, but you were still making love.
Yeah.
And in this case,
but I was imagining the story as he told it, and the whole time he just whispered the story in my ear very slowly.
Oh, that's.
Well, this isn't really role play as an animal.
No.
Object.
It wasn't role playing at all, and it was more of enjoying a story. It wasn't that we were in the story. It was just hearing and visualizing the story as he described it, and we were not entities in the story.
Right.
But what is the deal with women and horses? It seems to be a recurring sexual theme.
Well, they're extremely well hung. You've got to start
and they
right
have these
there.
Huge penises, but these huge penises are
they're so muscular and powerful and sweaty.
Yeah. Their muscles are close
perfect,
to the skin.
Isn't the perfect male body a kind of an imitation of a stallion? In some sense, the sculpted muscles.
Sylvester Stallion, for example.
Yeah.
Well. I mean,
the long mane of hair type of
the strutting.
It's that Fabio thing.
Sweat. I mean, it's the sweat.
The hooves. I mean, I don't know. I guess. I mean, there's certainly lots of muscular animals out there. The, you know, why not the tiger or other very strong animal, or say, you know,
but their muscles.
The tiger is feminine.
The tiger is calculating, and you know.
Interesting.
Horses.
And there is an image of women being feline. And attractive, in the same way that men are equine and attractive.
Mm. Well, that's why this keeps purring.
I had a female friend who was really fascinated and actually became aroused at the idea of the horse's nose, and would frequently look for textures in her life that were like the horse's nose, this moist, fleshy thing, and her fantasy was always to bite into it. She just wanted to sink her teeth into this. She said someday that she was going to die because she was going to see a horse and with this perfect nose and just sink her teeth into it because she couldn't resist. And the horse would just beat her up. But it was overpowering because she would occasionally, you know, with like wet felt or something like that, she would see something, a fabric or some kind of material, and be like, that's it. Like, I just want to bite that. And
would the pain inflicted by such an act come into the fantasy?
No, I think it was. I think she was purely, you know, I would do this without thinking of the consequences. And it was definitely all the oral fixation and pleasure of sinking her teeth into something very spongy and warm and moist. And
doing anything without regard for the consequences, I think, is part of most of my sexual things. Mm-hmm. I don't have any. I'm a man who lives in reality, I suppose, which is pretty poor. But
well, you're saying you do have a fantasy elements which do not correspond with perhaps what would be right to do.
Consequences don't enter into it.
Right. Well, I don't have such a developed sense of right and wrong. It's very personal if I have one. But, consequences, I can certainly predict what might happen if I do certain things. Most of the time, I think I'm too responsible. Mm-hmm. So most of my sexual fantasies have to do, like Corey seemed to have to do with power, mine have to do with irresponsibility, I suppose. Mm. Yeah.
Fascinating. And they're not necessarily, so they are very irresponsible, you're saying?
Yeah, very responsible to the things for the sake of the moment, and to know what comes later and do it anyway.
But aren't fantasies supposed to be the things that you would never get to do? Aren't they the things that?
Well, suppose
that's permission element, to do. Isn't it?
Pardon me?
Yeah, that's supposed to be an element of them. You can be free in your mind. You don't have to worry about consequences in your fantasies. You can be anything. You can do anything. You can do anyone. Be anyone.
Although I would argue some very powerful fantasies could stem from the good chance that the reality could occur.
Yeah.
But realistically, is the reality ever as good as the fantasy?
Chances are no. However, I know at least my fantasies often turn to events and often involve people that I will be spending time with in the near future. Off chance that, you know, something would kind of happen and...
You're pre-simmering for...
Yeah, exactly. And so far, nothing ever has in most situations, although it has kind of developed in one or two.
I need to interrupt, Olivia. I believe we have our first caller and Cinnabon recipients. Kyle, are you on the air?
Yes, this is Corey.
I'm DJ Fresh...
Homo.
Homo 2000 tonight.
Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't get the memo. First caller, well, you know, it occurred to me that how can you talk about sexual fantasies without talking about fantasies about celebrities?
Celebrities? You mean you have a sexual fantasy involving Julia Roberts, as do we all?
No, I mean, who doesn't occasionally? I mean, yeah, I got Pretty Woman in my collection right next to Sorority Sex Kittens 3.
I'm usually backing a car over her in my fantasy, but go on.
How unique.
It's still about Julia. She's there.
In my fantasy, she's watching me back a car over Sandra Bullock, but that's a different story.
Oh, excellent.
Sort of an exhibitionist thing. But
I think
I sort of wanted everyone's opinion about, well, whether one can become too obsessed with the celebrity. Like, for example, if you're, you know, in bed with your girlfriend and all you can think about is this celebrity, or thinking about going out and buying a computer just so you can digitally cut the celebrity's face and paste it onto...
Paste it onto your lover.
Paste it onto your lover, yeah.
Pardon me?
Take a celebrity's face and paste it onto your lover while you're making love.
Oh, I could never do that.
You say that now.
Well, I mean, not without goading and not without Julia Roberts watching me.
Right.
Well, as I've confessed in previous shows, I have made love to my significant other while thinking about somebody completely different.
Oh, do tell.
A celebrity.
Not a celebrity necessarily, but you know, somebody who I was really attracted to in college, or somebody who I thought was really keen, you know, while my lover is degrading me and totally dominating me, I just assume it was that other person. You
Keanu
know.
Reeves.
Sorry.
Keanu Reeves.
Well, Keanu has figured prominently in my fantasies.
Robert Reed.
You know, instead of saving Sandra Bullock in Speed, he actually pushes her under the bus, and then he and I go off together. And
my God, I had the same fantasy. Only in my fantasy, Julia Roberts is watching you and Keanu push Sandra Bullock under the bus.
Poor Sandra.
You are sick and twisted people.
Yes. Sorry.
But so you don't think it's possible to be too obsessed with a celebrity?
Well, I think definitely you can. I guess none of us are having any personal experience with such an event.
I'm totally puzzled by these things, people who fantasize about celebrities. But I also obviously don't have any insight.
Why would you fantasize about a celebrity instead of a character they played? You have very little information about what the celebrity is like.
See, I would argue...
Would you rather fantasize about Leonard Nimoy or Mr. Spock?
Oh, I love Mr.
That's a tough call. I'm sure, actually, most people would.
Oh, those little pointy ears and that cold
logic.
He must have deep-running passion under all that logic. I know he does.
Leonard Nimoy is much more sensitive. He has poetry. You know, he has
albums. You're right. He has many.
He can
sing. Yeah.
However, yeah. I think if you were to engage in a sexual fantasy about Dr. Spock, it would be Spock and
Mr. Spock,
and it wouldn't be Leonard Nimoy. I mean, this is my own personal observation, but I think a lot of people who are having celebrity fantasies are definitely having fantasies involving the characters that they either play or the facade that they put up more than the person. And I don't know if they all realize that.
No.
Well, the possible exception of Uma Thurman.
No. The reason these people are celebrities is because they're impossibly good looking. That's the primary reason that they're so fabulously famous.
No, Jack Nicholson is a sex object, I think, for many women.
Or they have some kind of charisma or talent, too.
So we have Sean Connery, and he's an old man.
Sean Connery.
Yeah. Sean Connery is considered good looking.
God, he's wonderful.
And but for me, I mean, Andy Davis.
You mean
so, but I never know if I'm making love to the real Andy Davis or, you know, Alice from the Brady Bunch.
Mm.
It's that blue dress with the white apron. Never mind. I'm sorry. I was getting off.
Oh, no, no.
No, go on. I'm pork chops and applesauce.
Oh. Look, if I could tell you how many times I've cried that out in the heat of passion.
Do the Brady girls actually watch in this fantasy, or?
Or
is it the whole family?
They're watching Sandra Bullock's, etc.
Are you in the center square of that initial build they do?
Does
in the beginning
Mel
of the show?
Mel burst in on you in the kitchen with Alice?
In some of them. And he's got more than just pork chops and applesauce, let me tell you.
Hot damn.
I think producer Fantastic Kate had a comment.
Oh, I was going to say that Patrick Stewart's voice turns me on when he does Toyota commercials just as much as when he does Star Trek.
So. Oh, most definitely.
Who's Patrick Stewart?
He is way, awesome. And he's just unbelievably stimulating.
What part of it? Is it the baldness, or is it the voice?
No,
it's
the voice.
He's the president of Star Trek Voyager,
he's
right?
He's extremely attractive also, yes. Jean-Luc Picard from Next Generation Star Trek.
Oh, I see.
Trek.
So,
I mean,
so here's something.
He's an attractive man, but his voice is just unbelievable.
Could you find out something about Patrick Stewart, about his private life, that would turn you off?
No, you don't want to know anything about your
fantasy lovers.
I mean,
I can't say whether that would be or not. I mean, I guess I would have to be told to find out, but
then he'd still have the same sexy voice.
Yeah.
I want you to bend down and squeal like a pig.
I mean, I was really attracted to James Taylor until I learned that he used to beat Carly Simon and Daryl Hannah and all these other people. And it's really... I know that Daryl Hannah was beaten by Jackson Browne, apparently.
So you want to beat Carly Simon?
You know, it's really unfortunate that these things...
The handyman?
What?
James Handyman Taylor?
Yes, used to beat Carly Simon in drug hazes. It's funny because they toured together afterwards, which I'm not really sure how that works, but certainly lost a level of my fantasy there.
So you want the discrete objects of your desire to be ethical and to behave according to some high moral standard?
It's a personal thing.
What crappy fantasy.
I know.
Well,
wouldn't that actually make him more attractive on some level, that he has that violent, passionate streak?
Not really.
And not just sing sappy acoustic guitar songs?
Okay, I'm afraid we're out of time. It has been an incredibly powerful, fantasy-filled evening for me and for all of us, I think. Thank you to all of our callers. You failed to get the cinnamons. You lose. We're eating them ourselves. Charisse is going to lick off the frosting off of all of them.
Well, does Kyle get a cinnamon?
Kyle gets a cinnamon.
Woohoo!
And,
can I rub it all over my body?
We'll help you.
Only if Julia Roberts can watch.
Only if I'm pushing it under a wheel of a moving bus.
Exactly.
Thank you all for listening, and good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.